It's also time for us to go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and bring in Jake Treader of ESPN. Jake, welcome to Cleveland, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's going on in Cleveland?
Oh, it's not bad, man. We got the suns out. Are you kidding me? This is fantastic. It's like sunny at 75 here.
Yeah, when I left Friday, it was a little bit dreary outside.
Okay, so it's gotten better. So how is it?
Okay.
It's definitely gotten better, and so has minicamp, and so have the Browns in general. So my first question to you is, you wrote an awesome piece on ESPN all about Odell Beckham and the influence that he has already had. What was it like hearing from Odell Beckham in that first press conference?
So this was the first time I had been in an interview session with Odell since he was at LSU, and I came away super impressed. I mean, I thought he was insightful. I thought he was candid. I thought he was honest. And so you kind of go back to, you know, his reputation coming in from New York, and it wasn't what the two things didn't match. I don't want to say it wasn't what I expected, but, you know, you hear all these things about Odell from New York, and then you hear him talk, and it's just completely different. So I was super impressed. You know, you can put me in the camp that thinks that he's actually going to fit in really well in Cleveland with this team. And so I think his relationship with Baker and Jarvis is only going to help him really settle in and be a big part of this team on and off the field.
So what was it like watching that relationship, Jake? Was there like a real, you know, connection between those guys at minicamp, or was it still trying to feel each other out a little bit?
You know, it's always hard to tell because we're not in the building. You know, we're in the building, but we're not in the building where they're at. And so you don't really get to see a lot of the interactions off the field. But you can just tell. I mean, you can tell that, you know, just based on the comments, you know, Baker defending Odell for not being at OTAs. And then, you know, Odell, you know, I don't know if he wittingly took a shot at Eli Manning, but praising the strength of Baker's arm and just talking about being a fan of his since he was at Oklahoma and the confidence. And then using the word brother to describe, you know, both Baker and Jarvis Landry. I mean, I think that's real. And I think that's going to be a big, big part of the foundation of this team.
Well, and it's so funny, too, that you brought up that clip and that sound, or that statement that Odell made. Sorry, I'm thinking in radio instead of in real words. And you bring that up, and it was the same thing that Jarvis Landry said the minute that Baker Mayfield stepped on the field, is he goes, well, now I got to go to the jugs machine and I got to turn this thing up now. And so it's really funny to hear the two of them, these LSU guys, going back and forth saying, man, now with Baker and the velocity they have, man, we got to turn this jugs machine up.
Yeah, and I, you know, covering Baker at OU, you know, going into the draft process, there was a lot of concern about, you know, his height. But then you watch him play, and it's like the dude can make all the throws. So, and I've never seen him get balls batted down. I think there was a stat, like, it was either in college or his rookie season where he had a really small percentage of balls batted down. I think it was coming out of college where it was way lower than the other first-round quarterbacks. And he just finds the windows. And you watch him in minicamp, and he is popping the ball. I mean, he is throwing some lasers out there. And, you know, it's not surprising to hear Jarvis and Odell talk about that because Baker has one of the stronger arms, I mean, really, in the NFL. I think that you know, he's got an arm that I think really can deliver at that level.
And it's funny you bring that up because I was going to get into that with your college background with Baker and that stuff. Have you noticed a change in Baker at all coming from OU to Cleveland, or is it still the same guy that was throwing down in Norman?
You know, it's funny. So I get there Tuesday, and Duke Johnson, like right off the bat, you know, adamant he still wants to trade. He wants to. And then a few seconds later, Baker's talking, and Baker said what he did about Duke. And the Cleveland media was all taken aback by it. For me, like, that's just Baker. That's who he was at OU. And I think that he's finally becoming the person that he was at OU, at least publicly, as a leader of the team. You know, he gets there last year, and he's, you know, a rookie, and he's not really given a chance to win the starting job, and he's the backup, and he's the new guy. And so I think it took a little while for him to, you know, feel comfortable being himself. And that is what is happening right now. He's just being himself. I mean, you know, I was on the radio yesterday, and somebody's asked me about, you know, how could he violate one of the unwritten rules of the NFL? you know, talking about somebody else's situation. I said, well, Baker's not really into the unwritten rules. I mean, one of the unwritten rules is you don't plant a flag at midfield of the opposing team's stadium. So Baker is going to be himself. He's going to, you know, pop people when he feels like it's warranted. And I guarantee Baker is not speaking for himself. You know, I don't think he goes out and says what he says if he doesn't feel the vibe in the locker room. So my, you know, my experience is that Baker senses a frustration in that locker room about what Duke is saying and Duke not wanting to be there. And I think he expressed that.
And I think they all do, Jake. Jake Trotter of ESPN joining us here. And I think they all do. I think they're sick and tired of hearing about it. I think they're sick and tired of being asked about it. I think it's just, hey, and they're looking at it going like, dude, Nick Chubb's our starting running back. I don't know why we're talking about the backup running back this much. And it's just, in the eyes of the Cleveland media and the Cleveland fans, here is this guy who was here for the mess that was the Cleveland Browns for the longest time. And so people care. And I think Baker looks at him and goes, dude, you're a member of this team now. Shut up, get in line, and let's go.
And the other thing is, I mean, Kareem Hunt's not coming back anytime soon. And, yeah, Nick Chubb is the starter, but you need more than one running back. I mean, this team needs Duke Johnson. I mean, Duke can really help this team and be a big part of this team, especially with his versatility, you know, and catch passes and all that. So, you know, and who knows what's going to happen with Kareem Hunt, you know, what he's going to look like when he finally gets cleared. But half the season, Kareem Hunt's not even going to be on the field. So, you know, even when Hunt comes back, Duke could still play a role on this team. So I think that's part of the frustration, too. It's like, you know, you can still really help us win games, and you don't want to be here. So, you know, we're not okay with that. I understand, you know, listen, you know, they basically traded for a guy that, you know, conceivably is going to, you know, bump him down on the depth chart. But it is a little bit different. When we talk about the unwritten rules, you know, it's not like a guy's holding out for a better contract. That's not what this situation is. This isn't like Trent Williams at the Redskins. And I think that speaks more to the unwritten rule of not talking about a teammate's money situation. And I know indirectly this affects Duke Johnson's contract in the future because he might not get as much playing time. But it is a little bit different. As Freddie Kitchen says, like, Duke is under contract. You know, I expect Duke to play. And I do think that Freddie – you know, you saw with Duke, you saw with Baker Tuesday, and the next thing you saw Freddie Kitchens on the field hugging on Duke Johnson. And so I think Freddie is going to be a good fit for all the dominant personalities on that team. And I thought, you know, I know we're moving subjects here, but I thought that was a moment that kind of said, okay, I can see why Freddie would be a really good fit here.
You're fine, Jake, because I was going to ask you that. That was honestly going to be my next question, is how Freddie Kitchens is handling all of these different personalities and that stuff. So hang on, I have to think on my feet. So let's flip over to the other side of the ball.
Well, and just real quick.
Of course.
You know, they don't hire Freddie Kitchens if Baker Mayfield's not on board. Odell talked about it on Wednesday about having formed a quick bond with Freddie because they're both from the South. You know, I just talked about Duke Johnson. I mean, I think Freddie's doing a really good job establishing individual relationships with these guys, especially the dominant personalities, and I think that's going to play well this season. Now, if they start at 0-3, you know, that might change, but I think for now, it seems to be a really good fit for me. So, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're 100% fine, Jake. No, not a problem at all. All right, so let's flip to the defensive side, because I'm fascinated to see what a Steve Wilks defense is going to look like here in Cleveland. And I know it's mini camp, and I know you saw a very, very small amount of it, but does anything on that defensive side stand out to you as being different or innovative, or is it just looking like a base defense so far?
You know, it's hard for me to say because I wasn't there last year. You know, that's the thing I'm going to have to adjust to, is just I don't have a ton of Cleveland Browns past institutional knowledge just because I haven't been there and I haven't been, you know, following it that closely in real time. But to me, the thing that really stands out is the defensive line. And I don't know how deep they're going to be, but you look at the four starters, and they are very good across the board. And what that could allow is that could allow Myles Garrett, you know, to, I don't know if he's, you know, an NFL MVP contender, but he might be on the next tier down. I think he's going to have a big year, you know, because you got Vernon on the other side, you've got two really good interior players. I think he has a chance to have a big time year. So when I look at that defense, that's what sticks out. The other thing that sticks out, and I thought he was the story of minicamp in a lot of ways, Greedy Williams. Greedy Williams is ready to help this team. And you put Denzel Ward on the other side, you got Greedy on the other, two guys that can really cover. You know, tackling is the big question, but they can really cover. You know, you got a good defensive line, and you've got two good cover corners. You've got a chance to have a top 10 defense in the NFL.
All right, Jake, I will catch you up on previous Browns regimes and Browns defenses. Bad. Bad. That's really the answer. Bad.
They're not good.
Not good. So you're pretty much caught up there.
Okay.
So, and it's the same thing with the offenses. Also bad. You could watch Hard Knocks and pretty much figure all of that out. He is Jake Trotter. He's joining us.
By the way, I went back and watched Hard Knocks, and
did you?
It's like 70% obsolete. Like nobody's still here from those episodes.
It really is. It was almost like John Dorsey used Hard Knocks to find out who would come out in front, and then got rid of them. Whoever talked was gone.
Yeah, it was like the only people returning from Hard Knocks were John Dorsey and Baker Mayfield. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure everybody's gone.
Yeah, it was fascinating to watch it. And Freddie Kitchens, and that clip that continues to circulate around, and the reason why we all have faith in Freddie is that clip of him sitting in the room with Hugh Jackson going, dude, we've got to get these guys on the field. Like, I know the doc wants to talk to him. Yep.
And it was tense. It wasn't like a friendly conversation between the two.
No, it wasn't at all.
It was a little awkward.
And Todd Haley even made it more awkward, so.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of chemistry, I don't think, on that coaching staff, and I think there is issue. You know, I mean, they, Todd Monken, who had a terrific run at Oklahoma State in 2011 when he had former Browns quarterback Brandon Whedon, you know, has really had some success in the NFL. I think he's a future NFL head coach. Tyler Tettleton, an offensive assistant, coached at OU when Baker Mayfield was there. You've got Henry, who coached Odell and Jarvis at LSU. I mean, I think there's a lot of chemistry with this staff, not only among each other, but with individual player relationships as well.
And it seems like there's a lot of innovation on this staff. And I don't know if you're seeing it so far in minicamp and that stuff, but like, it seems like between, you know, the air raid roots of Todd Monken mixed with, you know, the Arians background of Freddie Kitchens and what we saw this year, like, this seems like it's going to be a really innovative team. And I am so excited to see the different things that they do, because Freddie was so good at different formations. And I mean, hell, he ran the wishbone last year. I mean, when's the last time you saw the wishbone? And so I think it's just going to be so cool to watch them put five wide receivers on the field and figure out where to go from there. And if that becomes a part of it.
And they've got weapons. I mean, Antonio Callaway is their number three wide receiver. I mean, Florida's offense fell apart when Callaway was gone a couple of years ago. You know, had a really strong season last year. I think he can be dynamic. You know, Mayfield and Higgins have a good rapport, it looks like. And then, so you got Odell, you got Jarvis Landry, you've got Chubb, and then imagine Kareem Hunt comes back. I mean, that is going to be potentially really dynamic. And it's going to be exciting to see. I mean, I think this is a team. If they can just hang in there early on, I think they can be a really dangerous team down the stretch.
He is Jake Trotter. He's the ESPN Browns beat reporter. So you're back down in Oklahoma?
Yeah, I came back to Oklahoma City yesterday, and now it's about moving. So I'll be working on moving there for the next couple weeks.
Are you hitting Aishin's fried chicken before you head back up?
You know what? We actually talked about like where we need to go before we leave, and Aishin's is at the top of the list.
You got to hit that. That is some of the best. I have family who's down in Oklahoma City. We landed the plane, got off the plane, dropped our bags at home, and they went, are you guys hungry? Too bad. You're going to Aishin's chicken. Like,
asking me what food I'm going to miss the most, and it's probably going to be fried okra. I don't think they have fried okra in Cleveland. So, and nobody makes better fried okra than Aishin's.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, in Okarchi.
It is so good. He is Jake. Welcome to town, man. Welcome to town.
Thank you.
He is Jake Trotter, ESPN. We'd love to have you back on.
Okay, sounds great. Take care.
Take it easy, man. He is Jake Trotter, ESPN, Browns beat reporter for NFL Nation. It's good to have him here.